Humphrey, what is your favourite film clip?
Well, Ron, I haven't seen a decent film clip since Lionel Richie's Hello, which, you know, was the battleship Potemkin of rock video clips. What's with the arms thing?
What happened to the bootylicious girls?
What's all that all about?
Get off, young girl.
There's Snoop Doggy down.
Hello, Australia, and welcome to Countdown. I'm Gavin Wood, and here's Tism.
It's good the record company have splashed out on the film clip, isn't it?
Yeah, you can tell where we are on their totem pole of significance.
Yeah, Kylie must look at this and just get so jealous because we've got that sort of talent. Snoop! This is the latest Crips and Bloods thing. That's the sign, you know, and that's if you're a Crip, and this is if you're a Blood. Ready? Oh, yeah, I'm a Blood, man! Put a cup in your hand! Fast forward a hump.
Yeah.
That's all right.
No.
Tyson.
Yeah, Tap is groovy now.
Remember, we're out to hear all Slack on Funnels with Dirty, Satire, and Cody.
Yeah, no. Yeah, just hope she doesn't do the splits, you know.
My eye!
Something good on SBS.
You got the remote control?
Here you go.
Yeah, well, hold on, Snoop's on.
Oh.
It was a great big white elephant of a place. The kind crazy movie people built in the crazy 20s. A neglected house gets an unhappy look. This one had it in spades. It was like that old woman in Great Expectations. That Miss Havisham in her rotting wedding dress and her torn veil, taking it out on the world because she'd been given the go-by.
You there, boy. Come up here, you're late. I need help with my show.
She must be a million years old. I hate to think where that puts me. I could be her father.
Very sorry, Mr. DeMille.
It must be about that awful script of hers. What can I tell her? What can I say?
I can tell her you're all tied up in the projection room. I can give her the brush.
30 million fans have given her the brush. Isn't that enough?
I didn't mean to.
No, of course you didn't.
I understand she was a terror to work with.
Only toward the end. You know, a dozen press agents working overtime can do terrible things to the human spirit.
Welcome, seekers, to the star-studded spectacle, the famous Bob Slacktime Funhouse. Oh, yes, I'm the star of tonight's show. The Reverend Susie the Floozy, the Norma Desmond of the world-renowned Church of the Subgenius, a celebrity of the brightest magnitude whose godlike place in the firmament is assured.
God.
Smaller. You've made a rope of words and strangled this business. But there's a microphone right there to catch the last gurgles. And Technicolor to photograph the red swollen tongue.
Wait a minute. Haven't I seen you before? I know your face.
Get out or shall I call my servant?
You're Norma Desmond. Used to be in silent pictures. Used to be big.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
She's quite a character, that Norma Desmond.
She was the greatest of them all. You wouldn't know, you're too young. In 1 week, she received 17,000 fan letters. Men bribed the hairdresser to get a lock of her hair. There was a Maharaja who came all the way from India to beg one of her silk stockings. Later, he strangled himself with it.
Sure turned into an interesting driveway. She was still sleepwalking along the giddy heights of a lost career. Plain crazy when it came to that one subject, her celluloid self.
Then why do they still write me fan letters every day? Why do they beg me for my photographs? Why? because they want to see me. Me, Norma Desmond.
I guess I don't have to tell you who the star was. They were always her pictures. That's all she wanted to see.
Still wonderful, isn't it? And no dialogue. We didn't need dialogue. We had faces. There just aren't any faces like that anymore. Maybe one, Garbo. Those idiot producers. Those imbeciles. Haven't they got any eyes? Have they forgotten what a star looks like? I'll show them. I'll be up there again, so help me.
Burning ambition of hers to become a movie star. Huh? She visualized herself then as she is now. And Ralph, her dream has really come true.
You heard him. I'm a star. The greatest star of them all. No one ever leaves a star. That's what makes one a star.
That guy ain't got a trained voice either, and he's one of the top record stars in the country.
Homer, you're going to be famous.
Yeah, but I'm not going to let it change our life. I'll be the same loving father I've always been.
Have you seen Bart?
I stuck him somewhere. Lisa, did you see the Grammys?
You beat Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Well, you haven't heard the last of them.
I have a question for Apu de Beaumarchais. Isn't it true that you're really an Indian?
By the many arms of Vishnu, I swear it is a lie.
Barney, how did you join the group?
They found me on the men's room floor.
Principal Skinner, You've been referred to as the funny one. Is that reputation justified?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Here with the cameras.
Tell them to go fly a kite. This is no time for cameras. Now, Miss Desmond, is there anything you want to tell us?
Cameras? What is it, Max?
The cameras have arrived.
They have. Tell Mr. DeMille I'll be on the set at once. What a woman. What a part. The princess in love with a holy man. She dances the dance of the seven veils. He rejects her, so she demands his head on a golden tray, kissing his cold, dead lips.
They'll love it in Pomona.
They love it every place.
Picture.
Where Diana goes, the paparazzi go too.
At first glance, this may appear to be only monkey business. But in reality, it's very serious, ladies. A demon with a glint in his eye and the little black gadget is a candid camera addict. Public menace number one. Beware of him, for all the peeping Toms of all the generations pale into insignificance when compared with his modern super peeper. While the scene you now see being screened is a comparatively innocent one, you would be blind indeed not to see the possibilities. You are no longer safe, ladies, even in the privacy of your homes. For this fiend is liable to be anywhere, under your mattress, hiding in the folds of your shower curtain. And let me warn you, don't cling to the idea that a closed door will stop this snapshot sniper. It won't. For where there's a door, there is generally a keyhole. And keyholes simply bring out the peep in him.
Oh, yeah! Oh, that sounds daddy like me!
The victims of this focus fiend invariably end up in the soup. Sometimes the soup is only the photographer's developer. On other occasions, it's front page notoriety. This all depends, of course, on who she is.
Who?
What she did and where she did it.
Where?
As Diane described a year ago.
Surrounded by paparazzi.
Oh, my God!
Oh, what are you, huh? You crazy bitch!
Cool princess swiftly recovered her composure and carried on as if nothing had happened.
Yeah. That helps
you.
I guess I deserve that.
Oh, I just have to kick you in the deadly again.
But I was not aware of how overwhelming that attention would become, nor the extent to which it would affect both my public duties and my personal life in a manner that's been hard to bear.
Great stars have great pride.
Oh, picture.
Go away.
We managed to contrive to stop the ever-present paparazzi from getting a single picture of her.
Paparazzi.
Those at the opposite end of the moral spectrum.
You loghead. Who you calling loghead, you weasel brain? Who are you calling a weasel brain, you photographer? Nobody calls me a photographer.
And there they go. Storm and Norman body slams the camera. Mario LaFlanzini is stunned. And while he's not looking, Norman pulls a gun. The winner and new champion of the world, Storm and Norman.
Your fly's open.
This shot's worth a lot of money, this shot is.
Peek-a-boo. I can see you.
This is the discussion concerning the paparazzi, the motorcycles, the reckless driving.
Picture.
16mm electric eye movie camera furnished by the Bell & Howell Company.
He'll expose you if you don't watch out.
The girl given the name of the ancient goddess of hunting was, in the end, the most hunted person of the modern age.
I will be reducing the extent of the public life I've led so far.
There's the vehicle, paparazzi crowding around it. You will notice when the princess gets out of the vehicle because there is a large, obvious camera flash.
Where am I?
This is the staircase of the palace.
Oh, yes. Yes. Down below, they're waiting for the princess. I'm ready.
All right. Cameras. Act!
So they were turning after all. Those cameras.
Oh, always crashing. Same car.
A bulletin has just been handed to me. Hollywood star, the buxom and beautiful Jane Mansfield, is dead. She was killed instantly when the car she was riding in collided with a truck a few miles from New Orleans early this morning. A flaming, grinding car crash ended the bright movie career of famed Jane Mansfield on June 29, 1967. Jane Mansfield died while driving to New Orleans. At 33 years of age, Hollywood's smartest dumb blonde lay at the side of the road. She died instantly and was almost decapitated.
It made me sick to watch.
You'll read about it in the late editions, I'm sure. You'll get it over your radio and see it on television. Because an old-time star is involved. One of the biggest. But before you hear it all distorted and blown out of proportion, before those Hollywood columnists get their hands on it, maybe you'd like to hear the facts, the whole truth.
What does seem certain is that her relationship with the paparazzi is shot to pieces.
Please, no more questions. I have a show to do. Look, there's JonBenet Ramsey.
Thought they'd never leave.
Please note, Susie starts talking about current events here, but it's not about Robin Williams. This is a retool of her famed Suck show from September of 1997, so suck it up and understand, seekers.
Well, hasn't the news been diverting lately? A well-intentioned girl getting caught up in the middle of multiple factions of idiots and played as the pawn in some big game? I can't think of a better metaphor for the helplessness of typical subgenius life on pink planet Earth. I was surprised to find myself getting sucked into the vortex of the whole unfolding spectacle. I mean me, Reverend Susie the Floozy, fropped to the gills and glued to the tube, appreciating the boldada of the moment on several different levels. Despite my continuing genderplex, I do somehow still identify with women. And my British heritage gave me a unique perspective on the way the whole shebang was presented. I mean, seeing the dorks whom I call my people was translated through the murky, ignorant filters of stupid American newscasters. Oh, and I do have such a bitter distaste for the hideously inbred Greco-Germanic royal family. Yeah, before this particular princess was killed by a frog, she at least injected some good genes into the Windsor line as revenge. I mean, man, when the Queen came on live and did that speech that basically said, "Thanks for all the flowers," man, I was hoping they'd storm Buckingham Palace like the Bastille and come out with that old douchebag's head on a pike and then rage across the channel to seriously kick some French ass. Oh well, can't have everything. Then I guess I'll leave it up to my Auntie Joan, a sweet little 74-year-old lady who lives in Newport, Wales, to sum up this whole mess. I called her early Sunday morning to express my condolences because, well, Diana was the Princess of Wales and all, and I thought I ought to at least do that, but Auntie Joan already had the right perspective on the whole thing. "Oh, Susan, I've already had 6 hours of news about it on the telly, and already I'm quite shut of it. And I know it's only going to get worse. It's just like that JFK thing of yours, dear." Which is when I screamed and hung up the phone. Oh, but it does bring up the topic of this episode of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse for tonight. Fame. Gee, it sucks. It's toxic, and it makes people act like total buttholes. I mean, look what fame did for the original Jesus. He tried not to be affected by his own PR, and he was pretty successful. But hey, as soon as he was gone and out of the way, his fan club shifted into high gear and dragged his good name through the mud. Yeah, just like they're still doing today. Fame. Watch out, seekers. They could do it to you.
What kind of car is the Antichrist going to drive?
I want to know.
Is the Crandall Soup Company putting satanic messages in your alphabet soup?
I want to know.
Are you making the maximum financial return from your investment in God?
I want
to
know.
Look for the answers to these and other vital questions in The National Conspirator. Each issue is filled with the very latest in doctrinal fads, fancies, and factions. So now you too can keep up to date on the juiciest end times gossip. Get to know who's who in the current satanic plot to take over the world and find new ways to make the scriptures work for you. If you love controversy and enjoy being distracted by the latest religious rumors, then The National Conspirator is the magazine you need. What does all this have to do with serving the Lord in simple obedience?
I want
to
know.
So do I. But we won't find out in The National Conspirator. The magazine for people with itching ears.
Like me.
Can you get us in free, my girlfriend and me? We like the songs, but we hate to pay. Can I have your guitar? Can I ride on your car? Can you give me a road to play?
Can I have an autograph? Can I sit in your lap? Are you really into witchcraft like they say? Can I follow you home? Can I use your telephone? Can we crash here for just a few days? We're from Rolling Stones, so it's okay. What was your name? You're someone I've seen. Has anyone said that you look like James Dean? Can I sit in your lap? Can I give you the clap? Can we rap but don't have much to say? Can I have your guitar? Can I ride on your car? Can you give me a role to play? Can I follow you home? Can I use your telephone? Can we crash here for just a few days? We're from Rolling Stones, so it's okay. Have you got any stuff? Have you made your peace with Jesus yet today? Would you like to be a monk? Come on, let's go get drunk. Do you think Paul McCartney is okay? Can we crash here for just a few days? Oh, we're from Rolling Stones, so it's okay.
Ow, ow, picture, picture.
Elizabeth Taylor, and many's the times I do. I think what that poor kid puts up with, and it tears my heart in two. She's out every night in a swank cabaret, gets breakfast in bed on a solid gold tray. I hear that she earns $7,000 a day. What kind of life is that? She gets what she wants, irregardless of price.
Yeah, did you see her ring? That was some hunk of ice.
Why, she has 30 rings that she's never worn twice.
What kind of life is that?
What kind of life, what kind of life, what kind of life is that?
Facing snakes and other dangers.
Making love to perfect strangers.
I read in the news she buys booze by the vat. Now what kind of life is that?
Poor Liz, poor Liz.
Does she know what it means to make a pot roast last a week?
To wrap a towel around a pipe in case it springs a leak.
Does she know what it means to get down on her hands and knees?
To wash her kids' pajamas or her old man's DVDs.
These simple pleasures don't delight her.
She's too busy with la dolce vita.
Wherever she goes, something thrilling occurs. She goes out to dine and the restaurant stirs.
She's had 20 husbands.
Yeah, 5 of them hers.
What kind of life is that?
I'm sure Liz must think things look dandy so far.
But will she, like poor Sybil, one day wear a scar?
Will she wind up too with a rock and roll star?
What kind of life is that?
What kind of life, what kind of life, what kind of life is that?
At MGM they silver spooned her.
I think National Velvet ruined her.
I pay for a house what she pays for a hat.
What kind of life is that?
They packed up the crew at the Fox studio. They headed for Egypt, but Nasser said no.
They wouldn't let her in.
She's Jewish, you know.
What kind of life is that?
So for all of her glamour and her hoop-dee-doo and her house in the best neighborhood, would you take that lousy life if it was offered to you? You can bet Cleopatra's ass you would.
Oh, but Liz has nothing on Vicky Dugan, a model who is renowned for showing off butt cleavage, and somehow it ruined her career. Oh, the Limelighters wrote a song called Vicky Dugan all about her.
Vicky, turn your back on me. Come on, darling, just for me, 'cause there is something so appealing that your eyes are not revealing. Ho-ho, Miss Dugan, you're for me. Ho-ho, ho-ho, ho-ho. Other girls who approach me are beautiful, gorgeous, and gay, but you're so gosh darn more inviting going the other way. Vicky, turn your back on me. Come on, darling, just for me, 'cause there is something so appealing that your eyes are not revealing. Ha-ha, Miss Dugan, you're for me. Ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha. Vicky, baby, you move me. Without you, I'm bereft. I am hypnotized by those crazy eyes and that callipygian cleft. Vicky, turn your back on me. Come on, darling, just for me, 'cause there is something so appealing that your eyes are not revealing. Oh, Miss Dugan, you're for me. Uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh. Vicky, baby, you rock me in those far-out clothes. But don't it get chilly flying home at night when the cold, cold tailwind blows? Vicky, turn your back on me. Come on, darling, just for me, 'cause there is something so appealing that your eyes are not revealing. Oh, oh, Miss Dugan, you're for me. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a grin. Hey there, Chet Atkins. Would you make me a star? Oh, I tell you, I am something else with this guitar. Really? I mean, listen, you don't know what you're missing. Just listen. I mean, just listen to this. Ain't that fierce? Ain't that intense?
The crowd began to gather to watch the fun begin.
With his cowboy boots and his coveralls, his one-way ticket from Cedar Falls.
That big guitar and a grin.
Hey there, Chet Atkins. Would you make me a star? I mean, me being such a gas with this guitar. Listen, would you believe I ain't even got your correspondence course yet? That's hard to believe, ain't it? It's true. Never had a lesson. Never. And just listen. Just listen here. Chet Atkins, how come it is I never get to play by myself, huh? I mean, you get to play by yourself. How come I don't never get to play with some of them big symphonies like you do, huh? How come, Chet? How about when the swelling goes down in my fingers?
Whoa! What a hole! Hey, have you seen this?
Hell no.
Look!
Oh, picture, picture. Most photographed, most publicized celebrity of the day. But you're still not a star.
How can I marry a nobody? You saw her. I was up there once. That's where you come in. You're gonna make her into a star. Then the dame and me, we got mutual interests.
You know, you just can't take any girl and make her a star.
You've done it before. I can name half a dozen.
Not me, Fats. The girls had talent. The public made them stars.
You must understand, I discovered her when she was
16.
I made her a star, and I cannot let her be destroyed.
You made her a star.
Yes.
And he said, when you wake up tomorrow morning, that's when, after we open, he said, you look in the mirror and you'll see a star.
You become Miss Negligee, Miss Tomato, Miss Lobster, Miss Direct Mail. Your express agent, Jim Byron, estimates that during the run of the play, your picture appears in newspapers and magazines more than 36,000 times. You're the toast of Broadway.
Oh, so the beautiful lady's a performer, eh?
Ask my agent.
Oh, what do you do? Sing? Dance?
Ask my agent.
Oh, the lady's a comedian, eh?
Ask my agent.
Picture.
Who says the press never lies?
Now you got a somebody to marry.
Clam up, will you?
What are you getting sore?
What are you getting sore? What are you getting sore? What do you suppose I'm getting sore? I like music. How do you suppose I'd be married to a dame with a stinking voice like that?
You ought to be on this side of it. Oh, yes, Seekers. I'm afraid this is more of a star-stunted spectacle tonight, but I want to show you that it's all nothing but a conspiracy trap. Fame is the worst drug of all. Fame is nothing. Being known doesn't translate into financial or emotional security. It's just some sort of incidental, suffocating side effect of being in the public eye. I've had almost 20 years of it in the most piddling, penny-ante, pissant ways imaginable, and it hasn't enriched my life in the least degree. I've been in the middle of things since 1979, 2 years before Bob came into my life and I joined this beautiful cult. That was when I first took to the strip club stages as Susie the Floozy, the persona that was to take me over totally. And then I was an MC and spokesbimbo for sci-fi comic conventions, which is really under the bottom of the barrel. And then in the early 90s, the Church of the Subgenius finally needed me. Oh, I wasn't sitting in Dobbs Pharmacy all that time waiting to be discovered. It just kind of happened and I got swept in. And it doesn't mean that much to me, Seekers. It pisses me off. I'm treated differently sometimes because of it. Hey, wake up and smell my organic discharges, buddy. I'm not even a tarnished idol. What difference does it make to anyone that I even exist? Look at me. I'm nothing but a bored, aging recluse with a house full of lizards and thrift store records, and that's it. Because face it, baby, we ain't nothing but a bunch of meat sacks biding our time waiting for X Day. And when you get right down to it, anybody who loses perspective about that immediately places himself on the other side of that line drawn in my sand. I mean, this shouldn't have to come from me. I am what I am, said the Lord. Or Popeye or somebody, I forget. And that's my point, Seekers. I am only what I am. I am pathetically scrabbling for slack just like you are. Another bitter bottom dweller on the tragic frog march through this pink life. I take off my pants 3 legs at a time, just like the next mutant. And don't put me on a pedestal. If you want to look up my skirt, act like a man and put mirrors on your shoes. But don't set me up for a fall by holding me in too high a regard. We'll all only get disappointed in the end that way. Because if you think I'm anything other than I am, well, hey, that's your trip, Bubba. And I ain't toting that luggage for you, baby. Oh, because I just want you to know I don't want anything from my audience, and let's keep it that way, okay? Thanks, I knew you'd understand. All right, coffee break's over. Back on your heads.
There was a time in this business when they had the eyes of the whole wide world. That wasn't good enough for them. Oh, no. They had to have the ears of the world, too. So they opened their big mouths, and out came talk. Talk, talk.
That's where the popcorn business comes in. Buy yourself a bag and plug up your ears.
Look at them in the front offices. The masterminds. They took the idols and smashed them. The Fairbankses, the Gilberts, the Valentinos. And who have we got now?
Ooh, hot.
Oh, yeah, that's hot. That is hot.
Someone once described television as an invention whereby you're entertained in your living room by people you wouldn't have in your house.
Gentlemen, Us Magazine just came out with its What's Hot and What's Not issue.
Are we hot?
We are not.
We all went our separate ways.
Can't believe you're not still popular.
What'd you do? Screw up like the Beatles and say you were bigger than Jesus?
All the time. It was the title of our second album.
Christ.
But we were about to learn an iron law of show business. What goes up must come down.
What about Bob Hope? He's been consistently popular for over 50 years.
So is Sinatra.
Well, anyway, we were all getting tired of...
Dean Martin still packs him in.
Ditto Tom Jones.
Shut up!
Now I'm so dead, I don't even rate a mention in one of those scandal magazines. You used to be a big man. You don't like to be small potatoes. You want to come back, don't you?
I sure can't go back any further. I didn't know you were planning a comeback.
I hate that word. It's return. A return to the millions of people who've never forgiven me for deserting the screen.
Fair enough.
Even if she got away with it in court, crime of passion, temporary insanity, those headlines would kill her. Forgotten star, a slave. Aging actress. Yesterday's glamour queen.
Debbie Reynolds. Rexino Mando.
Hello, I'm Rexino Mando. Messenger from Pei is a true, provocative, sensuous love story of Debbie Reynolds, seen through my eyes as I watched her soul dance nude. These are some of the scenes from my new audiobook, Messenger from Pei. I first met Debbie in the Orient. And yet it seems like it was only yesterday.
It was Christmas 1952 in Korea and very cold. The wind's shrill whistling was in my ears as I walked. The sun was setting. When I looked up, the sky was suddenly filled with a million tiny snowflakes. Her soft, warm hand slowly slipped into mine.
Hello, I'm Debbie Reynolds.
As soon as her hand touched mine, I felt a jolt of electricity flowing up my arm and down my spine. She was 4'10" and beautiful, with sparkling light blue eyes that needed to be kissed. From the moment she touched me, I knew that I was in love with Debbie for the rest of my life. The electricity never left. I stood there speechless, watching her lips move and introduce each of the MGM stars.
Damon Wynn, Walter Pidgeon, Carlton Carpenter, and this is Movida.
She smiled at me and started taking off her clothes. Debbie laughed and threw her white skirt over my head as she ran out onto the center stage. I thought I would pass out. She stood in front of all those GIs and nothing more than her long underwear with buttons that buttoned all the way down the front, twisting from side to side, singing and imitating Betty Boop for the troops.
I want to be loved by you, and nobody else but you. I want to be loved by you, alone, ho, ho, boop, boop, doop. I want to be kissed by you, and nobody else but you. I want to be kissed by you, alone, ho, ho, boop, boop, doop. I couldn't aspire to anything higher, higher.
Every once in a while, she looked my way, making funny faces, teasing
me. To make you my own, boop, boop-be-doop, boop-boop-be-doop. I want to be loved by you, by you.
It was only a short distance to a Quonset hut where Debbie stayed. I opened the door. We both went in and closed the present world behind us. I helped her slip out of her huge Mickey Mouse boots. The room, dimly illuminated by a 25-watt bulb, created a soft candlelight atmosphere. The illusion felt like we were both floating in a huge, pale, orange-colored, transparent bubble, with soft music in the background. She was 20. I was 24. Her soul appeared nude as a dance crossed her alluring, innocent blue eyes. Her perfect, small, cute nose. Her very soft skin. Her warm lips hugging just the outer part of each eye tooth as she smiled gave the absolute expression of love.
I was taught that we're not to have sex until after we're married.
Yes, that's what I was taught, too.
My name is Granny.
Me, too.
Love is for...
Me too.
Don't look so sad. We'll meet again. I promise. Honest Injun.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.
New York City. A soft, warm hand slowly slipped into mine.
Konnichiwa, Papa-san.
Chills ran up and down my spine. Without turning around, her sweet, unforgettable fragrance and warm, electrifying touch filled me in an instant. It was Debbie. My heart was bounding with excitement. An elegant, exciting young lady, a beautiful sight, smiling at me. When I hugged her, she whispered,
"Let's get out of here and go somewhere."
We were in the back seat of a long black limousine going down Broadway. A closed, darkened partition obscured the chauffeur's view. As the wheels of the limousine moved in and out of the Manhattan traffic, Debbie's face was only momentarily illuminated by the blinking of the neon signs and just as suddenly silhouetted by the traffic's oncoming headlights. Her captivating blue eyes were so full of love. Talking was only an excuse to gaze. She kept smiling, watching my eyes, watching her eyes. When will I see you again?
Soon, Papa-san. Soon.
Burbank, California. Debbie's home.
After the hugging and greeting was over, she introduced me to her mom.
Debbie's told me a lot about you, Rex. It's all good. And now I finally get to meet you.
Don't be silly. I'll drive you home.
Debbie and I were both surprised to find ourselves under Marilyn Monroe's cover. Debbie's Beverly Hills mansion held a certain glow of Christmas on the outside.
What do you think?
I think it's like a wax museum with a pulse.
Hi, I'm Buddy. Can I get you?
Oh, yeah, the Douglas Sirk steak.
Run to a crisp or bloody as hell.
Bloody as hell and, oh, yeah, good coke.
I'll have the Durward Kirby burger, bloody, and Martin and Luke's.
That was my 15 minutes.
What was it?
It was a show about a team of female secret agents called Fox Force 5.
What?
Fox Force 5. Fox as in we're a bunch of foxy chicks. Force as in we're a force to be reckoned with. And 5 as in there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. The Japanese fox was a kung fu master. The black girl was a demolition expert. French fox's speciality was sex.
What was your special?
Knives.
What?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Which brings us to another major point of tonight's show. When you're blinded by hubris, your judgment is way off. I mean, Rexino Mondo was off, but that's because he's got the benefit of insanity. The following people should be real ashamed of what you're about to hear.
Thank you.
You painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair. Ruby, are you contemplating going out somewhere? The shadows on the walls tells me that the sun is going down. Ruby, don't take your love to town. He warned me that started that old crazy Asia war, but I was proud to go and do my patriotic chore. And it's true, I ain't the man, Ruby, that I used to be. But Ruby, I still need some company. I know it's hard to love a man whose legs are bent and paralyzed. In the wants and the needs of a woman your age, Ruby, I realize. But it won't be long, I've heard him say, until I eat around. Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town. She's leaving now, because I just heard the slamming of a door. The way I know I've heard it slam 100 times before. If I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground. Ruby, don't take your love to town.
Don't take your love to town.
Bing Crosby, wrap your troubles and dreams, take four.
Castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. Sang the wrong melody, we'll play it back. See what it sounds like, hey, hey. They cut out 8 bars, the dirty bastard. And I didn't know which 8 bars he was gonna cut. Why don't somebody tell me these things around here? Holy Christ, I'm going off my nut.
From far beyond the galaxies, I've journeyed to this place to study the behavior patterns of the human race. And I find them highly illogical. Girl meets boy. They fall in love. She says he's everything she's dreamed of. But when they get married, before he's aware, he changes his habits, the way he combs his hair. He changes him to someone he's never been, and then complains he's not like other men. Now really, I find this most illogical. Take the case of your automobiles. Greatest invention since man discovered wheels. Hydromatic overdrive, floor on the floor. Push-button windows, push-button doors. Double-barrel carburetors rush you any place, but you never can find a parking space. Highly illogical. Take the case of modern man. He works all his life, gives it all he can. Saves all his money, works overtime. Pinches every penny, banks every dime. All he can think about is money, but you know that he can't take it with him where he's going to go. Now I find that fascinatingly illogical. Now is the time to journey home, to tell of what I've learned. My people, I believe, have every right to be concerned. For in spite of computers and advanced psychology, behavior patterns are still a mystery. I predict the future of this earthly human race is that having made a mess of Earth, they'll move to outer space. Well, there goes the neighborhood. Totally
completely, absolutely, irrevocable, highly illogical.
Be here tonight. Oh, I beg your pardon. Of course you may. I love the pose.
Oh, I'll make you happy, baby. Wait and see. Oh, for every kiss you give me, I'll give you three. Oh, from the day I saw you, I've just been waiting for you.
Thank you very, very much. I'm so glad you enjoyed that. You want to know something? I've done a couple of numbers and I'm warm already. And I came prepared this year, too, because I remember that it always gets a little warm under the lights on the stage. So I brought my own air conditioning. Yeah, it's not doing so good. Did you notice it? It's that little fan on the floor right there. That's it. You see it right there? That's it. $8.98, Sears and Roebuck. Oh, should have got the 1198 one. You know what I was thinking? As long as I'm warm anyway, why don't I slip out and get into something more spectacular? Okay?
Tonight we've been steeped in a strong mixture of stardom and insanity. Oh, we played host to the Holy Ghost Players with National Conspirator, If the Shoe Fits by Leon Russell, What Kind of Life Is That by the Chad Mitchell Trio, the tribute to Vicky Dugan was by the Limeliners, and He Always Dreamed of Wrestling, that was by the Bobs, Chet Atkins' Make Me a Star was by Don Bowman. We had a little bit of The Simpsons in there. And Irene Ryan, yes, Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies, singing Granny Wears a Mini Skirt. And Walter Brennan, that old boot, was doing Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town. And then we had a classic Bing Crosby blooper. He was screwing around in the studio. And Leonard Nimoy's Highly Illogical went on next. And ooh, then we had Tiny Tim doing Be My Baby classic song by the Ronettes. You want to talk about the travails of fame? Why don't you talk about Phil Spector? Now there's a case for you. And this is a flues from 2007. Now, with the benefit of 10 years of elapsed time, I find I've got even more fame and even less fortune. Now I've got no friends left and only one main lizard, the Mahar. Oh, in my book, the only people who deserve to be famous are Danger Woman, Forrest J. Ackerman, and Bob. And if you'd like to reach Bob, he's as close as an SASE to Bob at the Subgenius Foundation at P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118, or as close as your keyboard at subgenius.com. Good night, seekers.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not very good at saying good nights or goodbyes, but I find, you know, after spending an evening with folks like you, we may have started out as strangers, but I hope we wound up being friends.
And never say goodbye, say ciao. No, never say goodbye, say ciao.
In closing, you people must realize that the public owns you for life. And when you're dead, you'll all be in commercials dancing with vacuum cleaners.
Thank you.